It's Maccabi Diva, Fields of Omar and Letiria. Well, the great bears hit the front. Maccabi Diva from Letiria. Fields of Omar fighting back. But it's Maccabi Diva in front of Letiria. Fields of Omar coming back in the middle. But Maccabi Diva, she's the champ. She wins the Cox Plate. Three quarters Letiria. A great run by Fields of Omar ahead away.
It was one of the great Cox Plate moments. Maccabi Diva winning the plate in 2005, and that gave Lee Freeman his second Cox Plate, and he joins us on our regular Wednesday FBI segment. Morning, Lee.
Morning, Michael. How are things?
Very well indeed. Gee, you'd love to get another Maccabi Diva, wouldn't you? Can you remember vividly the build-up to that day and what the nerves, the anticipation and the pressure was like?
Not really. She just won the Turnbull pretty easily 3 weeks before, and she trained well. I actually went to the race, you know, with the horse that good. I'd have been very disappointed if she hadn't won. So it wasn't really nervousness or expectation. It was resignation more than anything.
That's not bad when you can go to a Cox Plate with that confidence. You may well have had a similar amount of confidence heading into the 1992 Cox Plate, not with Superimposed, but with Naturalism.
Yeah, very much so. He was in brilliant form, and the other old boy was probably on the down trail and had come to the race via the Canberra Cup, and you know, it was one of the great Cox Plates, that if not the best, because you had a situation like there were so many Group One winners in that Cox Plate, and most of them in form. I think I had three runners in the race, including Mannerism, and he kind of did a Bradbury. You know, there was the fall and our favourite was out and another couple of horses, and then there was a scrimmaging on the turn, and he sort of came around the outside and was the last man standing, which was probably a fitting way for that horse to go out.
Would have been pretty...
He did run in the Melbourne Cup the week after, but probably shouldn't have run in that.
That was the wet year that you ended up winning with Sub-Zero. That was when you had the clean sweep of the majors in 92, which was quite phenomenal. That Cox Plate, though, when you've got the $1.90 or $1.80 favourite who hits the deck, was it all just a whirlwind? When did you focus on Super? And hang on, we might actually still win this.
I kind of, you know, after the initial shock, I switched back to the other runners, and I could see him making a run around the outside, but he was well and truly under the bat, and unlikely to make it. But these days, he probably wouldn't have made it, because you had an unlimited use of the whip back then, and he was copping plenty to get him over the line. But it was a good ride by Greg, because he didn't go searching for inside runs and run into all that traffic that a lot of other horses ran into.
This year's Cox Plate's an intriguing race, because we've got the two champions of the time that are trying to fight back after defeats, Very Elegant and Zaki, and then you've got the three-year-old who is the Guineas winner, Animo, heading into the race, and the X factor of the international form as well. A select field of just 10 runners. Before I ask you about the horses individually, do you like what Moonee Valley do? They said, no, we're not going to have KI and Ortique, even though it's not a full field, and select the field that they want, maybe leaving others out that could have got a run?
Oh, well, they've picked and chosen over the years, haven't they, whether they did that or didn't do that. So I'll leave that up to them. That's their race. Personally, I think you should have had, from a wagering perspective, you probably should have the as many runners as you can have. I mean, anyway, leave that to them.
What do you do with Zaki? What do you do with Very Elegant coming off below-par performances?
Yeah, interesting, really. Zaki's only had a break between, like a break, not a proper spell, probably between Brisbane and when he won the tramway, I think, first up or something like that, was it? And just sticks in the back of my mind whether he may be feeling the pinch a little bit. That said, I don't think you can really discount him on that run the other day. It wasn't the small field, and it wasn't kind of run as a Cox Plate would be run, so... You know, my inclination is not to ride Zaki off at all, but it just sticks in my mind that he's been up a while. The other mare would probably have needed an excuse the other day to confer upon her a good hope and a Cox Plate. That's my opinion. It was very much a below-par run from her on her outstanding form, and I just wondered whether she can turn that around. It's an interesting race. Look, it's always an interesting race. I mean, Animo's probably just been nobbled a little bit by the draw. It's going to probably force their hand to ride him really quiet. And generally, I find that the three-year-olds that have run great or won the Cox Plate have been horses that sit up on pace and use the advantage of their weight pull. And I don't know if he's going to be able to get to use that to effect. And then I haven't really drilled down on the form of those. There's one or two international horses, and that could be interesting because, you know, they're not here for a haircut, and they've probably got very good international form. I'll do a little bit more homework on that, but I'd certainly be looking at them in a year where there's a few ifs and buts about the fancy runners.
Yeah, it'll be fascinating that the Gold Trip form, he's got form in an arc and State of Rest, who comes over from America as well. So you think this year's Cox Plate's probably one of the most open we've seen then, do you, Lou?
I think it probably is. You know, there's no winks in it, obviously. Clearly, there's no horse of that calibre in it. And, it's given four or five or six horses a decent chance of winning it.
If Incentivise had pulled up well and backed up, would he have been the one to beat?
Possibly. It's only been done once. And I don't know how many times it's been tried. Probably multiple times. But it's not that easy coming back from the pressure of a race like the Caulfield Cup over a mile and a half, which is effectively a sprint over a mile and a half, and then come back within a week to 2,000 metres around the valley. I mean, it would take a very, very special type of horse. It's pure conjecture, but, he would... In an open year, you would have had to have considered it,
You picked him a few weeks ago when I said of the three that we're talking about this spring, Zaki, Very Elegant and Incentivise, before they'd been beaten, who would you like? And you said Incentivise. Did he almost exceed your expectations on Saturday in the Cup?
Not really, but the way he won it from the outside gate and taking his time to get over in a race like that... And he really only had the drop on the 1-1 trail on the 2 litres until about the top turn coming off the back. And then Brett came out to give him clear room and basically travelled into the breeze 3 deep all the way from there. And then found 3 lengths to beat him at the finish. It was an incredible performance. But the horse's whole career is incredible. You know, when you consider that he was a maiden back in April. Mm. And he probably... I think he got beaten at a Toowoomba night meeting at a short quote and not beaten run second, beaten a long way. And next minute, he's winning multiple Group 1 weight for ages. He's probably the most interesting story of a horse in Australia in the last 50 years.
And now he's on the precipice of completing the double, becoming the 12th horse to do so. He's got to carry 57 now, though, Lee. That 1.5 kilo penalty... And only Maccabi Diva, who's carried 58, and then you have to go back to 1977 Golden Black, and before that 1975, 58.5, Think Big, have been horses that have carried 57 or more since the metrics came in. Is it going to be tough for him to do that?
Look, history says yes, but history can be manipulated a bit. I mean, it's been harder for horses to do it in the modern era because of all the imported horses in the race. This year there aren't so many. There's very few quality opponents at that trip. And although he's unproven at the trip, he gives every indication of the way he ran away at the Caulfield Cup. You'd be a tough man to say he couldn't run 3,200 metres on that performance. And I don't think the penalty, you know, there's some say the penalty should have been a lot harsher. He's won twice the weight for age before the Caulfield Cup, then won the Caulfield Cup by 3 legs. And he's still got in underway for age. So I can't see that he's harshly weighted. Put it this way, I don't think that 1.5 kilo penalty will stop him winning the Melbourne Cup if he can stay the trip.
Mm. What penalty did DeRemus get the year he did the double? He was a low-weighted horse, though, wasn't he?
Yeah. Well, that always makes a difference. He won the Caulfield Cup on 52 or 52.5, I think. So they're always going to give him at least a 2 kilo penalty. Maybe more. I can't remember, to be fair. I think you better check with Greg, see what he did. whether, I don't know if Greg was even the handicapper then. It might have been Jim Bowler, but I think it was a two. Might have been 2.5. But, you know, when they start off at a base of 2.5, they've probably got more leeway to give them a little bit more of a penalty. And keeping in mind, he only won the Crawford Cup by about a long neck, half length on a soft track. So he was basically weighted because he was given that penalty because he was so low on the weight side of it.
The Peter Moody adds to the story as well. You've been in the trenches against Peter Moody for years, and for Peter Moody to come back and win his former home track major, his first major, and now have the favourite in the Melbourne Cup to complete the double. What do you think about that?
Oh, that's terrific for Peter. I mean, you know, to come back after you've given training away for 5 years, and to be fair, he's been given a great horse. And you need those sort of breaks in this game. And he was lucky enough to get hold of that horse. And he's made the most of it. And, well, you know, congratulations to him. You know, those majors aren't easy to win. And he's won his first. And hopefully he'll go on and train a fair few more now. But certainly getting a horse like Incentivize in your first sort of year and a half of training is a fantastic windfall, I should say.
A couple of quick issues I want to get your thoughts on. The Everest was a raging success on Saturday in Sydney. It's only been going for 5 years. It was a thrilling contest. Great to see crowds there, but it has absolutely decimated the Group 1 Manicato at Moonee Valley on Friday night because they don't have a confirmed start date for the Everest 2 weeks out from the Manicato. What's your thoughts on that? And do we need to have the programming looked at so it's cohesive between states, or is it just each for your own?
Oh, look, the system says it's each to their own, because unless the time comes, and it never will in my view, where Racing Australia is a strong enough body to determine when all these races are run and what grade of race they're going to be, and have a central body that makes the decision for the whole country, then we're always going to have this sort of thing happen. I mean, it's very similar in effect to what's happening with the COVID thing at the moment. You know, we've got a federal government, but we've got state governments who are basically calling the shots as to when and where they're going to open or if they're going to open. And this is very similar to racing. Everyone does their own thing. And I think, you know, Melbourne being a little bit more staid than Sydney, had always expected that they would be given, you know, the grace of having the spring to their own. But they didn't count on a guy called Peter Vallandis, who rightfully, under the current system, sees it as a free-for-all, and you can put on whatever race you like if you can pay for them. And if we can attract better fields than you can attract, then tough luck. And, you know, to be fair, Michael, that's business.
Mm. Mm. So you don't think, you don't foresee any of that changing in the future. Is that for the betterment of racing as a whole, or that comes secondary?
I think it would be for the betterment of racing if the body concern, and that being probably Racing Australia, was a strong enough body to run the sport without fear or favour, and make the right decisions. And then you'd have to get race clubs accepting those decisions that they were made in the best interest of racing and move on. But whilst the system exists as it is, you'll continue seeing this sort of thing happening. And I'm ambivalent about it. I think from a trainer and an owner's point of view, it's great stuff. It's giving me options, giving me a chance to win big money. And let's face it, you know, racing's an expensive enough game for anyone to be in. And, you know, trinkets like this are just what we need.
Lee, always great to get your thoughts. Leave us with the Cox Plate winner.
It's a good one. I would have really fancied Animo had he drawn a bit better. I guess it just worries me that he's going to have to make a run from a long way back. Look, I'm going to sit on the fence and say I think one of the internationals will win. I don't really know their form, but I think it's an ideal year for a horse of quality to win the race.
All right, very good. Can you give us a winner up north? You've got a runner on Saturday, Turnstar.
Oh, yeah, no, I couldn't tip him. He's got more convictions than Darcy Dugan. Stay tuned. We've got a good one coming up. All right.
Lovely. We'll look forward to that in the coming weeks. Good on you, Lee.
Cheers, bye.